Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring and my fine wife, Bev, will be joining me shortly. It's time for everyone to be totally honest. You ever driven along the highway and seen other people drive by in cars much newer or nicer than yours? Did you wonder why they had a new car when you might be driving a refugee from the salvage yard? Have you ever ridden through a neighborhood and wonder who owns the expensive houses with the neatly manicured lawns? Did you ever wonder how they could afford such a place with a nice car sitting in the driveway? Have you ever wondered why some of the most ungodly people in your office dress in ways that you can't afford? And yes, have you ever asked God why it seems that ungodly people prosper while many of God's children struggle just to get by? Truthfully, there have been times in the past when I wondered about those things. I think perhaps that's why I was led to write why they prosper and we don't. Number one, the enemy will tempt you, us. The enemy will tempt us to question the fairness of God. The enemy has three weapons, only three that he can use against you. He has the power to accuse, the power to deceive, and the power to tempt. That's it. Once you get born again, the enemy has lost your soul for eternity. So his next tactic, and frankly, his only option, is to neutralize and render you ineffective for the kingdom of God. One of his best strategies is to accuse God of being a respecter of person, of caring for and blessing others, even more than it does you or me or us. He knows this tactic is even more effective when he continually points out how ungodly people are seemingly blessed far more than we are. Revelation 12:10-11. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The enemy is trying to accuse God of blessing the ungodly more than you. At the same time, he is seeking to deceive you about the real purpose of your mission. And finally, he wants to tempt you to doubt. James 1:13-15. New Living Translation says it this way. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. That's what the enemy is hoping, that we allow sinful thoughts to grow so we will experience the wages of sin. Second, keep our focus on him instead of them. Anytime we spend questioning God or talking with others about why you ungodly prosper, it's time where he's diverted our focus from what God wants to do for us to what's happening to others. The enemy knows that our focus is either a destiny maker or a destiny breaker. Anytime he has us thinking about things that are no earthly benefit to us, he can neutralize our effectiveness for the kingdom of God by creating doubt. When thoughts pop into our head about how the ungodly are prospering, what should we do? Psalm 37:7. Classic Amplified. Be still and rest in the Lord and wait for him, and patiently lean yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. I looked up Psalm 37:7 in 21 different translations. And the thought at the beginning of each translation is clear. It's clear. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 73:12, Classic Amplified Bible. Behold, these are the ungodly who always prosper and are at ease in the world. They increase in riches. We should never spend even one second, not one, being envious, jealous, or upset when the ungodly prosper or get recognition we don't. Not one second. We need to keep our focus on him and not them, knowing that our time is coming. We have the God of creation on our side, behind us, and ever with us. Number three, the choice is ours. John 10:10, King James. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The word might is mentioned twice in John 10:10 because we have a choice. We can choose to experience the abundant life now and the eternal life later. John 10:10 in the New Living Translation says in part, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. It's our choice whether we experience the abundant life, as it says in the Classic Amplified Translation, says abundance to the full till it overflows. It's a choice. It's ours to make by the decisions we make and following after and believing the Word of God. But there's another choice we might make. We're to spend eternity with Jesus. Yes, the ungodly can experience abundance here, but the only reward they will get is right here on planet Earth. And after that, payback time for rejecting Jesus as their Savior. Regardless of how wealthy or successful the ungodly are, we have a much better benefit package and retirement plan than they do. Number four, God has a plan for our lives, and it will prevail. God has a plan for our lives, and it will prevail. There are many verses that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has everything under control, but I only feel led to share these four verses. Need to write them down. Refer to them over the next few days and beyond, for that matter. Proverbs 19:21, the Classic Amplified. Many plans are in a man's hand, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. Romans 8:28, Classic Amplified. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good, a plan for good too, and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Third, Isaiah 55:8-11. Isaiah 55:8-11, Classic Amplified. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And fourth, Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Number five, the same rules apply to the godly and the ungodly. Hebrews 11, 25 and 26, Classic Amplified. Because he preferred to share the oppression, suffer the hardships, and bear the shame of the people of God, rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. He considered the contempt and shame born for the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked forward in a way to the reward, recompense. I love the last sentence of Hebrews 11:26 in the Message Bible, where it says, because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. Over the years, I've read a number of books by atheists and New Age believers who talk about, and truthfully, they talk about and practice seeing time and harvest. Oh, they don't use that terminology because that's scriptural and Christian. However, they know that if you give, you get a return. If a raving atheist sows $100, believing he'll receive 100-fold, he will. When we sow, if we expect to receive a harvest, we will. If we don't expect to receive a harvest, we won't. It's just that simple. Even though the godly, the ungodly, may receive great returns on their investments while on planet Earth, when the last breath goes out of their body, what they had here, it'll be left behind for others and will be no consequence where they're going. In Luke 16:19 through 31, we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man experienced short-term rewards, but never tasted the cool taste of water on the long-range rewards enjoyed by Lazarus. By the way, the problem with the rich man wasn't that he was rich, it was that he was greedy. Now, obviously, we're not going to finish this today, but the two principles we're going to talk about tomorrow as we finish this up are really important. I strongly encourage you to join us tomorrow and think on the things we've talked today. God has a plan for your life. And it's not for you to spend the rest of your life dabbling in mediocrity and lack. It's not. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHaring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. If you're blessed by the teaching at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts.